Psalm 34 and verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. I want to speak this morning on the subject of afflictions. Afflictions. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Be very careful to note the first word, many. It does not say that we will only have a few in our lives, or that only a few people will experience afflictions, but rather it says many are the afflictions of the righteous. And I would try to like to answer a question this morning from the scriptures that I hope will help you. I know this applies to all of us, and that is, why do good people suffer bad things? Why do very good people sometimes suffer some very, very bad things? And it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. I want you to notice the righteous here. It's not talking about the evil or the wicked or people who are living in sin. It's talking about righteous people. It's talking about people like Joseph. Joseph, if you'll remember back to Genesis, the last part of the book of Genesis, it talks about the afflictions of Joseph, a very, very righteous man. He had an excellent spirit. From the time he was a teenager, he loved the Lord. God began to reveal his word and his vision and his will to Joseph in his life. And Joseph began to pursue the perfect will of God. And while doing so, he just happened to live in affliction in a family of 10 older brothers who hated him and envied him. And the more he talked, the more they hated him. He never did anything wrong. They saw him coming one day when they were out in the field watching their flocks, and they decided to kill him. One of the brothers intervened and said, no, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in the pit. And they threw him in the pit and just to try to decide what to do with him. And they saw a group of Ishmaelites coming by, and they sold their brother Joseph into their hands as a slave for 20 pieces of silver. And Joseph was carried down into Egypt. He would spend the rest of his life down there in Egypt. He'd never see his mother again. His hands and his feet were hurt in irons and fetters as they took him down to Egypt, and he would be basically a base slave. He decided he would make the best of his afflictions. He decided he would make the best of his situation, and he was very industrious. It was noticed that he was industrious, and Potiphar called him to be the chief servant in his house. And during that time, Potiphar's wife cast her eyes on him and began to desire him, and he would have nothing to do with immorality whatsoever. And he fled from immorality, he fled from adultery, he fled from fornication, and did right in the sight of God, and as a result he was accused and afflicted some more. The wife of Potiphar accused him of rape, and he was put in jail for anywhere between 2 to 4 years for something he absolutely did not do. During that time, he was forgotten by the butler and the baker when they were released, and he had to suffer more in prison. He was finally released from prison and was noticed by Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world at the time, and Pharaoh took him as one of his servants, and he began to climb the ladder in government, if you will. And all this time that he was going through this, he never asked for any of it. It was a horrible time of affliction. But in Genesis 39 and verse 2, it says the Lord was with Joseph. In verse 3, it says the Lord was with him. In verse 21, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph. In verse 23, it says the Lord was with him in all of his afflictions. The Lord came along and gave him a wife. And he began to have some children by his wife, and it was a wonderful blessing that God sent him in his afflictions, and he named one of his children Ephraim, and he called him Ephraim, which means the Lord hath remembered me in my affliction. Joseph did not ask for afflictions. Afflictions came to him. And he tried to keep it in perspective. He knew what the psalmist is trying to say to us here, that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. And as time went by, a famine came into the land of Israel, and his 10 brothers, and he had 11 by then, and their wives and their children began to starve. There was no food, and his father Jacob began to starve, and they were without food, and they came into Egypt quite a bit later. And when they got to Egypt, they found out that Joseph was in charge of the food supply, and that God was actually working in Joseph's life as a teenager and allowing him to go through the furnace of affliction so that he would be sent way ahead of Jacob, whose name would be changed to Israel, to preserve Israel and to preserve Jacob's family alive. And when the story was all over, and I didn't do it justice there in my explanation, but when the story was all over with and Joseph's brothers apologized and they were so sorry for what they did to Joseph when he was young, he said to his brothers in Genesis 15, verse 19, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." And all the afflictions, he said, in the land of my affliction, he realized that all the afflictions that he went through, God meant it for evil, or Joseph's brothers meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He was going to bring out good through the afflictions Joseph went through. Certainly God brought out good through the afflictions Job went through. And you can think of the sufferings of Job and how Job is one of the few men that could honestly say in the book of James chapter 5 and verse 11 that he saw the end of the Lord, that the Lord is good and tender and merciful. And so many people down through the ages, thousands and thousands have been blessed and helped and strengthened because God allowed Job to go through afflictions. When the children of Israel stayed in Egypt and God wanted them out, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 12, "But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew." And we see that affliction brought multiplication, it brought growth to the nation of Israel. The Apostle Paul one time described his life this way in Acts 20 and verse 23, he said, "But afflictions abide me." He says, afflictions live on me. Afflictions live all around me. My whole life is just one that is just surrounded by afflictions. And how we thank the Lord for Paul, our pattern, after all of these years, that we can look back to a man that went through so many things and was able to experience the grace of God in his afflictions. And at the end, he was able to say, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And it's possible for a person to go through all kinds of afflictions and still be able to endure. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Not a few, but the righteous. Why do bad things happen to very good people? But the Lord delivereth them out of them all. I'd like to give you about three things to think about this morning regarding afflictions. When I studied the word afflictions in the Bible, and the dictionaries rather, and concordances, I was amazed. I never in my life can remember a word that has so many synonyms. And as I read these synonyms of afflictions to you, I think one is probably going to reach out and touch you because your afflictions are different than mine, but your afflictions are just as real as mine. The word afflictions can mean, but is not limited to, bad things, evil things, disagreeable things, malignant, unpleasant, painful, unhappiness, misery, displeasing, hurtful, unkind, vicious, distress, injurious, wrong, unethical, mishandling, humiliation, tribulations, troubles, anguish, persecution, pressures, All these are synonyms for the word afflictions, and it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. I do not know which one of these words applies to you today. Whether you're young or old, we are all here today living different lives. We've come from different families. We have different occupations. We live in different neighborhoods. We live in different bodies. For some reason, some people suffer many different afflictions in their bodies, but other people don't. My wife has a friend that died a few weeks ago, 52 years of age, my age, of cancer, something he battled for years and years and years. A man just as righteous as I am, probably far more righteous, loved the Lord, loved his wife, loved his children, brought him up to love the Lord and serve the Lord and go on mission trips, and they homeschool their children and everything. I know that's not for everybody, but this man did, and he lived in a distant state, and he just had this affliction in his body. Loved his wife and kids, I'm sure, as much, maybe more than I ever did. And he just had to suffer that and went on to be with the Lord recently in heaven. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. We come from different backgrounds and different environments and have different genetic codes and different upbringings. I don't know what your affliction is. I may know some of your afflictions. You don't know what mine is, but yours is just as real as mine is. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. It's not just the Josephs, and it's not just the Jobs and the Pauls, but anybody who's righteous is going to have many afflictions so ordained of God. And you are too. Now, the sooner you accept this, the sooner you memorize verse 19, the sooner you quote it often, the sooner you yield and submit to it, the less issues you'll have with God, the less struggles you'll have with His will. When you realize that many are the afflictions of the righteous. Now, just for definition, before we go on, this word righteous means those that are justified in the sight of God and law-abiding in the sight of man. That's a righteous person, one who's saved, whose trust is in Christ as their Savior. He is our righteousness. We have no righteousness of our own. But a person who is justified in the sight of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and justified in the sight of man by his works, being a law-abiding Christian example, that is a righteous person. To them it is promised. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Do not think that you are unique. If you are going through afflictions, this has been a time of afflictions. We've had afflictions this week in the church body. Members of our church have gone through some physical afflictions this week, and we have been aware of them, and we have been praying for them, and three of our members have gone into the hospital this week, and I believe through your prayers and the Lord's goodness, they have come out of the hospitals this week, and we certainly thank the Lord for that. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? When it talks about that man I tried to describe just a little bit earlier about Joseph, it would be recalled in Stephen's sermon in Acts 7 and verse 9. He would say this, he would say, "And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions." If you still have your Bible, open to Psalm 34, verse 19. Write down Acts 7, 9 in the column of your Bible next to that. Give yourself some references on subjects. It says about Joseph, "and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom." You see, Joseph, I don't know if any of us would want to trade places with him and the life he lived, but the Lord delivered him out of all of his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom. in a land that he didn't want to live in. The Lord delivered them out of all their afflictions. I want to say three things about afflictions to us today, and it's just paramount that you maybe jot these down and try to remember these things so you don't think it's some strange thing that's happening to you in your life sometime. But I want to say about afflictions, number one, we are appointed to afflictions. Number one, we are appointed to afflictions. Turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 3 in the New Testament. Number one, we are appointed to afflictions. Appointed. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 3 that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Do we know that? The Bible says, because I think Paul had very, very carefully instructed the church at Thessalonica about afflictions. We are appointed unto afflictions. Twice a year I have an appointment to go see the dentist. That's what the word appointment means. I have to go see the dentist, like it or not. Tells me cavities, whatever. Fillings falling out, that happens when you're 50. As soon as you turn 50, your fillings start falling out. I got to re-drill them. You want Novocaine? I think the needle hurts worse than the drilling, so I don't take Novocaine. I just say, go ahead and drill them. And out they go, and the new ones go in. Appointments. Brethren, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. That no man should be moved. Have you ever seen somebody moved by afflictions? Have you ever seen a believer in Christ just startled out of their mind, like, what in the world happened? This person has failed somewhere along the line to read the Scriptures. They failed to absorb the Scriptures. Or maybe if some pastor has failed to teach the congregation that, listen, we are appointed thereunto. Paul is telling this church at Thessalonica, don't be moved when afflictions come into your life. It says, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. It is appointments. You know, this thing about the sovereignty of God, I'm sorry, I can't explain it. But somehow God used the hatred and the envy of Joseph's brothers to have him sold into slavery, and God allowed Joseph to be hurt in fetters of iron. And the Bible says in the Psalms that his brothers saw the anguish of his soul as he begged them not to do that to him. And then Potiphar's wife and all of these things. God did not ordain these things, but God allowed these things to happen. And there was an appointed time for Joseph and his afflictions. And when it was all over, God meant it for good. And one of the hardest things, you know, one of the old evangelists says that we usually only have two problems in our life. You're God and he ain't. And if we can just get those two things reversed, and let God be God, he is God, he's God and we ain't. The Lord asked, cannot the Lord do what he want with his own? The Lord can do what he want with his own. Listen, there's coming times when there's appointments in your life. We live by metaphors. In this life, some people think of life as in the metaphor of a carousel. You get on, you go around for a while, you have a really good time, and then you get off. The only problem with that metaphor is it's not scriptural. The biblical metaphor for our life is that this is a test. Life is a test. That's the metaphor we should live by. And we should approach that spiritual and scriptural metaphor and say, if that's the metaphor for life in the Word, I'm going to pass. I am not going to be amongst the throngs and throngs and throngs of failures. I am going to pass the test, and I am going to accept by faith that God has said, it is appointed unto me to have afflictions in my life. I'm not going to, like Peter said, think some strange thing happened to me when afflictions come. We are appointed to afflictions. Number two, we are affirmed in afflictions. We are affirmed in afflictions. In Isaiah 48 and verse number 10, the prophet says this. He says, "Behold, I have," he's quoting God rather. He says, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." That word chosen means that he has made an affirmation of us being his property, of us being his work. For it is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. This is where issues come up between sometimes believers in God. We want our pleasure, but he wants his pleasure performed in our life, and we begin to lock horns with God. We begin to have some problems. But God says, "I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. I've affirmed thee in the furnace of affliction." And he's relating us to the purification of silver and gold and other metals where they have to be tried by fire so the dross can come to the surface when metal is heated so hot to a liquid form, and then the dross is removed, the impurities, and then when the metal cools down, the metal is pure. God has appointed us to afflictions, but then he affirms us in afflictions. He doesn't just say, "I've appointed you to afflictions," but he also in the Bible gives us the reason why. He affirms us in our afflictions. Afflictions are God's way of coming down to earth to the distracted sometimes and tapping us on the shoulders and saying, "Remember me?" Remember how I'm supposed to be a part of your life? Remember how I'm supposed to be your life? Remember me? That's what afflictions are, God tapping us on the shoulder. Remember me? C.S. Lewis once said, "Pain is God's megaphone to awaken a slumbering world." It is our natural tendency when things are going well to forget God. It's not only that it's our natural tendency, but it's also the tendencies of nations in the Scriptures. I think it's something that's happened to America. I think we've forgotten God. And many times he has afflicted our country in our brief history. And tapped America on the shoulder and said, "Remember me?" I'd like you to turn to Psalm 119. It's my favorite psalm. I don't have it memorized yet, though. I don't know who wrote it, but I sure thank God for him. So many subjects are covered in Psalm 119. And our relationship to the Word and to the Lord. And I want you to notice beginning in verse number 67. We begin to see the affirmation in afflictions and how God affirms us and chooses us. He says in verse 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy word." Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? keeping the word of God's a good thing. And but before we're afflicted, we went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Notice that affliction is one of the teachers. Affliction is one of the many teachers that God uses to teach us about Him and about the Bible. Look at verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The word statutes is another synonym for the Bible. He says, it was good for me that I have been afflicted. See, this man had some insight, that I might learn thy statutes. Brethren, there's some things that we can not learn any other way but in the classroom of affliction. There are things about God we can't learn any other way. There's things about the Bible we cannot learn any other way but in the classroom of affliction. There's many. God has many teachers for us who are trying to teach us this book. God the Father is one of our teachers. He reveals these things unto babes. God the Son is one of our teachers. He opened unto them the Scriptures. God the Holy Spirit is one of our teachers regarding the Bible. He shall guide us into all truth. Pastors are one of God's instructors. They shall feed us with knowledge and understanding. And evangelists and apostles, missionaries, they'll edify us, according to Ephesians 4 and verse number 11. Sunday school teachers, parents, and Christian elders, and sometimes godly books. And there's all kinds of teachers that can teach us things about the Bible. You can go to Bible college. You can be in our Bible Institute or go off to Bible college. But brethren, you can go through all of those things. But there are some things about God, and there are some things about God's Word you will never learn. Listen, you won't learn it from the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the pastor, the evangelist, the apostle, the missionary, from any books. You'll never learn it in Bible college. You'll never learn it in Bible Institute. None of those teachers will teach you some things that affliction will teach you. God knows that. God knows that. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Notice that. Look, there's things that you can learn about God. There's things that you can learn about yourself in affliction that you'll never learn in any other classroom in life. There's things about the Bible that'll be a complete mystery to you. It'll be like reading Chinese until all of a sudden affliction, those verses come flooding into your soul that you learned growing up, and you'll say, now I know what that means. I know what that means. Now I see that about God that I've never seen before. In affliction. Verse 75, he says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. You know why God afflicts us? Because he's faithful to us. God loves you today, and he's faithful to that love. And God knows that his plan for your life is much better than your plan. His will for your life is much better than my will. And because of his faithfulness, he afflicts us. Did any of you parents ever spank your children when they were little? We did. Scripturally. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm talking about scriptural, corporal correction. We afflicted our children. Didn't want to. We afflicted them. And we did it in faithfulness. As God does, I know, Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Why did we do that to our little one-year-olds, two-year-olds, three-year-olds? I'll tell you why. Because at that time, we knew much better, much more what was better for them than they knew. And brethren, God knows much more what's better for you in your life than you do. God afflicts us. God taps us on the shoulder and says, remember me? I'm supposed to be your life, remember? You've been distracted lately. You've forgotten me lately. But you're not going to forget me anymore. I've known people in this church who were taught by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They were taught by Pastor Cole. They were taught by Sunday school teachers. They were taught by visiting evangelists. They were taught by missionaries. They were taught by godly parents. They were taught by books and all kinds of things. They were taught by every teacher that came down the path. They didn't live a word of it. But all of a sudden, affliction came into their life. Guess what they did then? Oh, God. Pastor. God in faithfulness has afflicted us because He's good. Verse 92, it says this, unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. You know why you ought to bring your children to church Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and you know why you ought to be here every time the doors are open? You know why you ought to delight in God's word? I'll tell you why, because there's coming a day when affliction is going to come in your life. And the more you've heard God's word, the less you're going to go to pieces when that happens. Verse 92. Let me say, last of all, we are approved by afflictions. We are approved by afflictions. Approved for what? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 4. Paul, talking to the church at Corinth, says, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in patience, in afflictions. We are approved in afflictions. You know why the afflictions come into our life? So we can minister to someone else. So we can minister to someone else. Joseph ministered to others. They came for food. But God needed to get him into a position where he could minister to them when they had a need. He says, you know, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And the rest of that verse says, and to keep much people alive. This will help you. If you ever get this, this will change your life. You don't live for yourself. That's not what God's trying to do. He's trying to make you a minister of some sort that can help others while we're taking this very, very short journey through life. You know, it's an old story. My brothers and I never asked for my mom to die of cancer when I was just 4. I didn't choose to grow up in a dysfunctional home. But I had no concept back then that I'd be a minister later in life and cross paths with dozens and dozens of people who are battling cancer and families that are battling cancer and people coming from dysfunctional homes. I had no clue that things I was going through back then would prepare me to minister to people now. I don't know, dozens and dozens of people I've met where cancer's come into their family, and I've been able to say, hey, our family went through that. My dad turned to Christ. My brothers turned to Christ. I turned to Christ. He helped us through a hard time. He healed our hearts. He can help you. I lived through a dysfunctional home, teenager. I didn't live on Easy Street. It wasn't fun. I was glad to leave when I was 18. but I know how you're feeling. And Christ came into my life when I was about 13 and helped me through those years. And some of you have, listen, some of you have gone through divorces. And I have people say to me, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how bad it hurts. But some of you have been through it. And some of you have found help and healing in Jesus Christ. And you can say to them, the Lord helped me. You didn't choose that affliction. We've got people in our church whose children have died. I've never had that happen to me. But we can be approved by afflictions as ministers of God. God puts us through afflictions so later in life we can help the next generation on their journey unto God. And so thank the Lord today for that classroom called affliction. If you're going to get anything, get this. I want to close with this statement. Afflictions teach us that we need God. We need God. Bible college can't teach you that. Personal devotions at home can't teach you that. Pastor can't. But afflictions can. Need God. God chooses and afflicts us in His faithfulness. So we'll need Him. So we'll be prepared to minister to others who are likewise going through afflictions. There's nothing unique. I meet people all the time that think they're the only ones going through a hard time. No, maybe now is your time. But for someone else, it's going to be tomorrow. It's going to be next week. It's going to be next month. It'll be next year. We are appointed to afflictions. Number one, Paul said, don't let this move you. Don't be moved by this. This is life. Get your metaphors right. Get off the carousel. We're appointed to afflictions. We are affirmed in afflictions. We get to know God. We get to know things about His Word that we've could never learn any other way. Even today, there's some sitting here saying, what's this about? When are we getting out of here? But 2 years from now, the whole world caves in on you. We're affirmed in afflictions. And all of a sudden the scriptures come rushing back into your soul and God says, this is what I meant. This and this and this and this and this. This is what I'm like. And then we're approved by afflictions to be ministers to other people. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, bless now the application of your word, this offering of ourselves to you, and in prayer, this altar call, we pray you'd help us, Lord. I really had no idea when I've been preparing this about all the people, even this week, that have gone through things physically. But for some, it's financially. For some, it's a marriage problem. For some, it's problems with their children. Some, it's problems with their parents. Some it's their job or lack of job, finances. Some it's incorrigible neighbors. Some it's persecution for Christ. Lord, I think of people in this church and especially in the chapel that they're the only ones in their whole family that are even saved and their family is constantly berating them. God, give them grace to stand. Lord, for some people it's their environment, their upbringing, the abuse maybe that they took, they had no choice in the matter. I don't know. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. people do evil things to us. Satan does evil things to us. So much. But the Lord delivereth them from them all. And through those things, we can see things about you and your word we'd never see any other way. And we can then help others on to God. Lord, help us. If anyone needs to be saved today, we pray they'd come at this time and let somebody show them how they can know the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to page 90 in our hymn books. And let's stand and close the service singing. But I want to encourage you to come to this altar and get with God's program.